So hello everyone, and it's really good to see you all, and to maybe meet a couple of new folks. So tonight we'll take time to invite a koan, surprise, and as usual, it's the one that offered to come tonight. And it just says this: the stone woman gives birth in the middle of the night. The wooden man gets up to dance. That's it. The stone woman gives birth in the middle of the night. The wooden man gets up to dance. This koan I first met many years ago, so we have a long relationship, but still today has felt like a first encounter. It's part of the magic thing that koans do. They have this shape-shifting quality where they suddenly appear as a new being. And so I'll trust you not to take my reflections as some sort of truth or as my interpretation or answer to the koan, but really just today's field notes. Yeah, I bring you today's field notes. And to so that you can meanwhile be meeting this koan on the bare ground, too. So, a couple of observations about what called me to it today. I think the first is the way in which it can be or might be about how impossible, how silly it seems right off the bat. Wait, what? You know, there's that quality to it. And so it's about the impossible, yeah? And about what really happens in some sense. It may be about lots of other things too, but it certainly is somehow about that. And for example, in my own recent experience, you know, in Nova Scotia, I live perched on the water. So what I'm made of there is water. Water that rises and falls in a rhythm. And I no longer track it. I used to like to keep the tide charts on my wall. But this year, I could look up the tide charts, and I did sometimes, but mostly I didn't feel the need to track the tide chart, but to feel the tide chart, you know, inside of me, the rising and falling. And that sense of that, you know, this amazing bulge of water that travels around, the bulge that travels around the world. You know? How amazing is that? And so the pull, and when I'm there, I'm also made of silence and wind. When there's no wind in my little house, there is a profound silence. I'll wake up in the middle of the night, and it's just silence. And in the early morning, and it's just silence. Or everything's rattling and moving. And underneath me, depending on the tide and the wind, It might be just stillness underneath my bed, you know, underneath my floor, or it might be sloshing, sloshing, sloshing against the cribs that hold the house. So I'm made of that stillness and that sloshing. I'm just all sloshing sometimes. And then the moon, you know, being there from full moon to full moon and more. That I'm made of that moon also. Sometimes making its brilliant shimmer across the water, and sometimes peeking through the fog and and heron in the morning when I get up, if I just walk a couple steps and look out the window, I'm probably eye to eye with a heron that just likes to sit on the rock, the seaweed right out there at low tide and fish. And there's a pair of kingfishers that go rattling around the house, and often one of them will be perched up there, and I don't know she's there until I open the upstairs door right underneath and what are you doing here, kind of thing. And the loons and crows and seagulls and terns. And this summer I would go paddling out, and the terns were feeding their babies, and so there was a particular island where the terns were nesting, and they're so elegant, they're just so fast and so elegant. And so you would watch them go and come up with, there were these little, you know, fish about yay big, quite a few of them. And so, you know, the tern comes up and then straight back to the island. And cormorants and seals. And there was three otter living in the cove. And they were so much fun to watch. One time, my son Joe came up for a few days, and we took a paddle, and we came back around the point, and Joe was paddling right close to the rocks, and all of a sudden, these three came sliding down the rock, and he had interrupted them trying to open up a lobster, and then one of them came back up out of the water, scolded Joe for coming so close. So like that, and for 3 days there were jellyfish all over the water, everywhere in the water, and then they were just gone. I mean, they were just all throughout the water, and then just gone. And then for a couple of days later, there were these things that looked like, you know, those sort of clear jewel-like stones that florists use to hold flowers. There were like that all over the beach, except they were jelly. And apparently they're jellyfish egg casings or something like that. Anyway, so there they were on the beach for, you know, a day or two, and then gone. So that rhythm, yeah? And within that, you know, carrying water down to the house and washing things and cooking and eating and pooping and painting and fixing things and friendships, and pretty much every day a paddle and a walk on the beach, and read a little, meditation, a few work in the room on the phones, four yoga lessons over the summer, and some of my friends came in to meditate a few times, and so what I noticed was a kind of integrity in the sense of just being made of this. And I did, you know, have a Wi-Fi connection, and I kept a little bit in touch with news so that I could write letters when it seemed really important to respond to something, and that sort of thing. And that, you know, as you know, was tricky. And yet, I didn't feel the need to exclude that. So one thing that wasn't happening was me saying, this is my retreat time, and nothing will intrude on it. This is separate, you know, and I'm doing important retreat work here. You know, that just isn't the way it is for me, this time that I take. It's let's see what this is like. It's more like what it is. And the choices become very, very noticeable when things are simplified that much. It's, oh, there went that hour. Huh. You know, but each choice seems to stand in its place and be visible. Does that make any sense? And there was a sense of integrity in that too. You know, oh, I'm made of this too. Water and birds and seals and sand and this. And time with friends. And then the dreams and the early morning stuff, the early morning mind. And I journaled, I wrote down the dreams, and a lot of the dreams, things are impossible, and I'm powerless. Today I looked back at the dreams, and I made a list of the things I lost in my dreams. Just this riot. I lost my way, I lost my place, I lost my glasses, my purse, my ticket, my daughter, you know. this long list of things I lost in my dreams. And it's kind of wonderful. It's like, oh, look at that. And that sense of not having the power and of it's too much and it's too late, you know. And I can't even, you know. And I thought, yeah, I'm made of this too. This moment in a life in which we have lost quite a lot together that we thought we had. I have lost stuff that I thought I had. And what about that? And then I noticed in each dream, there was celebration. There were children. There were weddings. There was music. There were parties going on. And festivals and creatures, little snakes and parakeets and lots of creatures and music and dance. I'm like, huh. Each dream had, I'm losing it, and it's a celebration. So I hope you're sort of, in my wordiness, can you sort of feel the fabric of water, moon, birds, yeah? Each thing appearing moment by moment, the constancy of the change, and just all of that sloshing around, yeah? Being made of that, and losses and losses in the impossible world. And in the middle of this impossible world, the amazing celebration of it all. Yeah. And so those side by side. And so suddenly it has dawned on me, finally, since it was so much right in my face, that there might be something important here and that I'd like to try to articulate. So are you starting to see why the stone woman giving birth in the middle of the night might have had something to do with this? And so when I look small, like the wrong way through the telescope, yet, then there are so many particular difficulties, yeah? And I'm right. There are so many particular difficulties, you know? And there are losses, and I am powerless in so many ways. And it's such a great joke, because this is the accurate view through the wrong end of the telescope. It's not a lie. It's exactly what it looks like through the wrong end of the telescope. Totally correct. And that it is also an expression of the impenetrable darkness of night. Yeah? What's impossible? What's not there somehow? The improbable, the inconceivable. What can't be, what can't happen. The stone woman. And out of it, you know, it's this very stone woman who inconceivably gives birth. That stone, out of the impossibility. It's not that even in spite of the impossibility, she gives birth. Out of the impossibility, there isn't any other birth. Like that is the way it feels to me right now. Only out of that dark, out of that stone, out of that silent impossibility, birth happens. The inconceivable is born. Because the conceivable, what we already can plan and know and picture, is just a picture. It has no life. Right? It's conceivable, but it has nothing. It's got nothing to offer. Only the inconceivable has real birth to offer. Yeah? Only out of the impossibility that I can't figure that, I can't do anything, I'm lost at all. Yeah? There's nothing. I got nothing. Only out of our I got nothing can something real happen. Does something real happen? And so then and that out of that stone birth everything. This, you, me, you know, silly little stand, you know, this hard, cold floor, all of it, and the news, and the next thing that happens, inconceivably, stunningly. And so what about that wooden man? The wooden man gets up to dance. The wooden man. The wooden woman. This dumb self. I was thinking about that expression, deaf and dumb. You know, thinking how dumbfounded I am in both of those places, dumbfounded and full of water, yeah? And dumbfounded and don't know what to do, lost the ticket, lost the glasses, lost the purse, you know? Found dumb, the dumb self that seems to have no potential energy at all, right? When we feel just stuck, you know, can't notice any potential energy at all. That's who gets up to dance. That's who gets up in the morning and puts on the kettle. Yeah. And sits down for meditation or goes for a walk or lets the dog out to pee. Moment by moment, she gets up to dance. And does something. And this is how Buddha action is. The person, us, who's got nothing, gets up and does something. Life appears. We appear. We do something. And this is the great awakening that we in the world are made of. The stone woman gives birth in the middle of the night. The wooden man gets up to dance. Amazing. right? Out of the impossible comes not only the, it's what must be possible, but unstoppable. Right? It doesn't ever stop. Unstoppable. She gives birth. He dances. So our awakening, which is impossible and inconceivable, is ongoing. It is what we're made of. And everything is made of. And it's not just an internal thing, right? It is this awakening ongoing that we are made of. So what? So what? So we get to sing with, yeah? The ongoing celebration invites us. We get to sing with our ticket lost, you know? And so what better thing is there to do? You know, have you got a better idea? This is what we call our way. And so we in this particular way, have inherited a sort of curriculum. And the curriculum is not only what we receive from our Buddhist ancestors, but what we receive from all of our ancestors, right? Our human ancestors of all sorts and our not human ancestors, our stone ancestors, yeah? Our water ancestors. What we receive all around is the curriculum. And our reading, writing, and arithmetic, it's the stuff that we dance from and with that gives us the dance that we dance. Our history, our art, our science, our geography. For millennia, people have been exploring this way of awakening, of waking up, all in all sorts of realms, yeah? And we here in this tradition are now the front, you know? We are the front edge. We are the growing edge of what this Buddhist tradition, of the curriculum that this Buddhist tradition offers. And it's really, really rich, you know? So it touches touches every aspect of a life, and we take this very full tool bag, so I'm calling it a curriculum, and it's also full of it's our tools, and that we must and do take into the new territory that's never been before, right? So what's that going to look like for us? And so the encouragement that I would like to offer tonight is to allow yourself, as I am allowing myself, to be handed this gift of a curriculum and to make something of it. And nobody, I hope, I mean, somebody could sort of tell you what to do, but you wouldn't really do it anyway. So it's probably a better idea that we just explore together. And so what the particular gifts that we have and that I just really do cherish are the gift of an instruction to sit every day. To sit down and actually be freedom for a little while every day. And by that I mean not, you know, take it up as your job that you're supposed to do well and that you'd never do well and that you know how you're supposed to make your mind shut up and it won't and, you know, all of that. That is just, that's just a waste of your time. Because you could have 20 minutes of freedom. Really, you know? Is that a very hard choice? You know, 20 minutes to work hard and fail some more versus 20 minutes to just be free? So why not? Which doesn't mean that you wouldn't try anything. You're free to experiment, right? But it's 20 minutes of freedom. Why not? And to go on retreat if you can possibly do it. This is the gift of our tradition. Our tradition says you can go, you can turn away from that what you usually do, your habitual do, and you can go into hours of stillness and quiet and community. And you can simplify your daily do so much that the threads of it become visible and radiant. Hey, it's a pretty good offering, really. And I would encourage you to go for it. It requires some sacrifice. And it's quite powerful. And we have in our culture available to us yoga, tai chi, qigong, so many beautiful disciplines of the body. And the arts, we have the materials of art around us, you know. We are so wealthy in that way. We can make stuff. We can pick up a pencil and make stuff. Not everybody can pick up a pencil and have paper, you know. And it doesn't take very much to make music. Some of you have probably seen that that video that Mata Bani made and her folks with children doing Heal the World. It's a tribute to Michael Jackson. It starts with a kid drumming on a washing machine, a clothes washer, you know? And I just love that beginning. You know, this about 10-year-old boy drumming on the clothes washer. It's like, you don't need much, right? And service, you know, for any of us, an opportunity to serve is, you know, one click or one phone call away or one step away. And to study and ceremony, we offer together right here to hold us. We offer ceremony, which is an essential movement of the heart. Yeah. And devotion and koans. And your list can go on. And so the reason I sort of recite that list is because it really is a curriculum. It's here, use this. You know, use this in your dance. See what happens. It's offered. It's available. We can, you know, being as how awakening is going on anyway, and it will come and get us anyway, that's fine. But we are offered these ways to be an active and deliberate participant. And there's just enormous joy that's offered by that. So I'm hoping that not a hope. What I'm excited about doing in community this fall is to to really set forth with clear intention to explore how we, in this lay community, in this turbulent time, a time of opportunity and also losses, how we ourselves carry forward this gift and find the power in it and use the power that's in it to benefit, to fix what can't be fixed, benefit what can't be benefited, yeah. Because that impossibility is presents itself every moment. And inconceivably out of that stone woman.